Parched land, water shortages, fire bans and dry pastures are affecting several parts of the country experiencing drought-like conditions. And there's no immediate end in sight. A fire ban is in place for much of the North Island, with the upper north experiencing severe drought conditions and parts of Waikato not having seen significant rain since December. Auckland is on track to break climate records tomorrow for its longest dry spell in recorded history, reaching 40 days with no rain. Other areas are also approaching record periods of almost no rainfall, with much of the rest of the country drier than normal, particularly North Canterbury in the South Island. There are water restrictions in many areas, including New Plymouth, Gisborne and Wellington. To talk about the implications of the extended dry spell, we welcome NIWA meteorologist Ben Knoll. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Catherine.
And Northland Federated Farmers Meat and Wool Chair, Roger Ludbrook. Hello, Roger.
Good morning, Catherine. How are you?
I'm really well, thank you. Ben, first, is there any hope in sight for Roger and farmers who are having to manage drought or drought-like conditions? What is it looking like?
Yeah, unfortunately, we do have a cyclone coming toward New Zealand, but that's going to be moving into the South Island with impacts starting on Sunday with some rainfall in the west and south. Unfortunately, those areas that are really, really dry, namely Northland, Auckland, Waikato, expected to see some scattered shower activity next week, but unfortunately nothing that's going to break this severe meteorological drought that we have unfolding. So, again, soil moisture is severely drier than normal in those regions, also the northern part of Gisborne and the northern part of Canterbury we're watching closely. And as you mentioned before, Auckland comes Saturday, 40 consecutive days with less than 1 millimeter of rain. That's the longest dry spell on records, with records dating back to 1943 in our analysis. So the outlook's a little bit grim for rainfall, at least in the upper part of the North Island.
Is it possible to explain what has caused this particular weather pattern? We get used to El Nino and La Nina and broad weather patterns here. Has there been something different this year?
Yeah, so what we had over the last couple of months is a very persistent area of high pressure in the atmosphere, and that sat over the North Island and north of the North Island. Now, high pressure, that brings dry weather, usually tranquil conditions. It's sinking air, and that really doesn't allow for rain or clouds to form. And that has been influenced by this pattern called the Indian Ocean Dipole that sits closer to Australia. And what it's meant for New Zealand is more westerly winds coming from Australia. Now, that's a dry wind. As we know, there's severe drought over there for much of 2019. And that has drifted toward New Zealand, especially the North Island, as we've went through late 2019 and early 2020. And this feature has sat in place now for several months in a row. And it's been very, very slow to retreat. Now we're finally starting to see the signs of it fading. But it has been a long-lasting feature, this area of high pressure near the North Island.
What has held it there? Forgive the simplicity of the question, but what has held it there for so long?
Yeah, look, the climate system is very slow moving. So if something can get into place, oftentimes we find that it will linger for long periods of time. So unlike weather, which changes day to day, certain climate features can influence that weather to behave in a certain way for long periods of time, especially in the summer season. That's when we saw this climate driver that I mentioned earlier called the Indian Ocean Dipole. It really set in late in 2019 and lingered into early 2020. So the persistence of that feature has driven the persistence of our area of high pressure near New Zealand.
There are already many centres that, particularly in the South Island, that have bettered 40 days without rain, or 55 days in the case of Blenheim. But is that more typical for those particular regions? Is the Auckland one the real surprise, hitting 40 and, as you say, breaking records?
Yeah, so several of those locations, Blenheim on 55 days as of yesterday, so today it'll be 56 days with less than 1 millimeter of rain, so a dry spell. That's their longest on record, again, 56 days in Blenheim. We've got 49 days in Cheviot, Takaka 46 days. The list goes on, Auckland again at 40 days. So it is unusual, especially when you're seeing the longest on record, second longest on record, and these records dating back in many cases, 70, 80, 90 years, so quite some time. Now, it does look like those ones in the South Island, namely the top of the South Island, Blenheim, likely to see some rainfall from this part of the moisture that comes down from the cyclone this week and into early next week. So that one will likely come to an end. But Auckland's, if the showers and thunderstorms that are scattered in nature next week happen to miss Auckland proper, there's a chance that that dry spell could continue through the 40s and maybe make a march toward 50. It does look like as we go late into February and perhaps into early March, there may be an area of low pressure that develops near and west of New Zealand that may make rainfall or more widespread rainfall a little bit more favorable. But I hesitate to promise too much at this point as the feature that we talked about earlier, that ridge of high pressure, has been so persistent. And again, you know, we have the cyclone tracking down toward the country, something that was predicted weeks in advance. However, it's a bit unfortunate that it's moving toward the part of the country that doesn't need the rainfall quite as badly.
It's reached permanent wilting point in many areas. What does that mean?
Yeah, so the permanent wilting point is being reached in parts of Auckland, Northland, and the Waikato, and that's the minimum amount of water that the soil, the plant needs to that requires it to not wilt or die. So that's not ideal. And in many cases, parts of the Northland region are approaching drought severity that is like 2013, which is might be a memorable event for farmers in the Northland region, also Waikato and Auckland. So that event is quite similar, and that's the last time that we had dry spells this long in the Auckland region. Whangaparoa and Warkworth in early 2013 had dry spells of 39 days. So again, that is an analog, is what we call in forecasting. So it shows similar climate characteristics early part of 2013 does to the early part of 2020. Although that drought was a little bit more widespread in nature, ours is a little bit more, I'd say, contained or focused on a certain region, but perhaps as intense, if not more intense, than that drought in early 2013.
So at the moment, you are looking at early March, but not prepared to get hopes up too much. And how much rainfall will be needed over a period of time to break the drought areas, Ben?
That's a really good question, Catherine. It would be several weather systems, several soaking rainfall events, say three or four, as many places are a month to maybe even 2 months worth of rain short. In a lot of places, we're seeing soil moisture deficits far exceeding 50 millimeters in parts of the North Island from about Taranaki through to Northland and everywhere in between. So when you look at rainfall at normals for the month, I mean, many places should see this time of the year 40, 50, 60 millimeters per month, and we've seen a quarter or less through the month of January and now continuing that trend through February. So it would take several soaking rainmakers, not just one, to return those soils in terms of moisture to replenish them. So, yeah, right now it's status quo, so continued drier than normal trends here for the next week. And again, perhaps some hope for a bit more rainfall as we go late into the month of February, perhaps the last few days of the month into the first week of March.
Ben, thank you. Ben Noel, NIWA meteorologist. It's 16 past nine. Listening in, Roger Ludbrook, a sheep and beef farmer in the Bay of Islands, and Northland Federated Farmers Meat and Wool Chair. Roger, I suppose you're hearing what you're already experiencing and already living, but first, how are farmers coping at the moment? And second, how well are people able to gear up for what appears to be a prolonged event?
Yeah, thanks, Catherine. I suppose listening to that, I made one early decision, which I didn't have my list. I'm not going to get Ben Noel round for comedic relief at the rugby club anytime soon. That was a pretty grim prognosis that he painted for us in the future, certainly in the next 3 or 4 weeks. Look, farmers, dry stock farmers anyway, will be trying to unload stock. I think one of the real difficulties we're having this season is the fact that the drought is so widespread. In previous droughts, you can rely on a couple of areas that may hold on well and get rainfall, and so they will pick up the excess cattle that people are trying to offload, or sheep. But this time, that's proving a lot more difficult. The other thing that's proving a lot more difficult is the fact that we really missed out on a lot of rain last year. So in my region, which is sort of central Bay of Islands, we were down 400, 500, 600 mils on average by the time we got to the end of May 2019. And it's that is creating so many hardships for us now. And you hear that in towns like Kaipari and up in Kaitaia and down through the Dargaville, where their water tables are so low, they're struggling to keep their town supply up. But I suppose the message, if we're looking to get a message out there to farmers, is to make your decisions now. Start assuming that things aren't going to get better for a period of time, if Ben is correct. And so make some really hard decisions now.
With relation to stock?
Yeah, just with relation to stock, with relation to your stocking rate, with relation to how are you going to adjust your plans if we don't get rain for another 3 weeks, if we don't get rain for another 6 weeks, because the further that you leave it, the longer that you leave it to make those hard decisions. And hard decisions are those decisions that are going to hurt you financially when things turn around. And you just have to make the decision based on the welfare of your stock, because that's what is most important to most farmers.
Just for wee townies, what you were saying earlier is, because it's so widespread, what are some of the options you might otherwise have had? You could relocate stock to a region that was faring better, or did you also just have better access to feed? I mean, what is the situation with supplementary feed?
Yeah, so you can you can still get supplementary feed at the moment, but that's not going to last forever. When I say relocation, as an example, and this is just an example, if, for example, the King Country and the Bay of Plenty and Taranaki had all had good seasons and had plenty of grass and were looking to replace animals that they had got rid of, we would be able to send our cattle down there. But all of those areas are starting to feel the pinch of the dry as well. So our ability to move stock around, it becomes a lot more limited. So really one of the only outs you've got at the moment is that you send your stock away to the abattoirs. But the problem there is that there are quite long waiting lists, and currently the dairy industry right now are pregnancy testing their cows, and so if they're dry, which you assume that certainly most of them up around me are, they will be looking to unload all of their excess animals to protect those ones that are currently in calf and make sure that they hold on to their condition going through the rest of the season.
So the abattoirs are booked out, is what you're saying?
Yeah. They are very heavily booked up. And then, of course, you throw in the difficulties that are appearing worldwide with the virus, and that is that it's hard to get, with almost 40% of our meat going into China at the moment, it's very hard to get that meat landed on their ports because they have relatively poor infrastructure for moving product around. So at the moment, I would suspect, and this is only a suspicion, I haven't managed to confirm this, that the meat companies would be starting to hunt around pretty hard for freezer space so they can hold the product that they're having to process at the moment.
So be specific. What's the kind of hard choice that you're saying needs to be made now? Hard decision.
Okay, so we had the discussion this morning around the number of cattle we've still got on. We've dropped around 400 cattle so far this season. And I still think that we are overstocked at the moment if it doesn't rain for the next 4 to 8 weeks. So we're going to drop probably, I've advertised 200, but if we can get rid of half of those, that'd be pretty good. And we will, roughly we will lose, so it's just me doing a quick calculation, In my head, probably around $280 a head is what we will lose off what their potential was.
On Tuesday, the Agriculture Minister, Damien O'Connor, declared a medium-scale adverse weather event for all areas north of the Auckland Harbour Bridge and an $80,000 package for drought-stricken Northland farmers.
Yep.
Is that adequate at the moment? Should there be an expectation that there may be more needed, or different regions may in time need similar support?
So look, I understand the bulk of that money will go into the Rural Support Trust. That will allow them to potentially employ a couple more advisors who will come on, and they will try and help anyone who goes to them for assistance. And so that's how that money would be used. It helps farmers to hear what they know is perfectly obvious. It's not very nice when Wellington denies what's actually happening, so the fact that they've acknowledged there's a drought can have some value, but at the end of the day it really does come back to individual owners and managers to work out what's best for them and their cattle in their system, and the stuff that goes on outside of it. I mean, in reality, $80,000, it's not going to change anything.
The banks have often been in the firing line when difficulties like this strike. How are they responding from what you are hearing? Are we seeing some measures introduced to practically assist farmers through what may be a financial crunch as a result of this?
Yeah, look, banks basically run on a formula. So this is my opinion on banks. Banks run on a formula, which is debt-to-equity ratios. They'll be looking at those, and people who cross the line, the banks will look to get rid of. Others who haven't crossed that line, they will look to help them as best they can. The banks, I don't believe, hold any malice towards us at all. I think they're there to help us as best they can, and most farmers will have personal relationships with their bankers, and so they will be there to help them. So how the banks respond to this will depend on how deep this is going to go, because there will be people, unfortunately, who are heavily debt-loaded already, who will be pushed beyond their capacity to service that debt.
As is always the case when stresses come on, extra stresses come on the rural sector, and as you say, you've got tough decisions to make. I'm sure you would encourage people who are feeling the stress to be looking to their rural support networks and their personal support networks and their professional support networks.
Absolutely. And that's part of the package that the government gives to help the rural support to service that. And also look for the silver linings. So now's a good time to find water leaks, because it's the only thing on the farm that's green. I haven't had to mow my lawn for quite a while, so I'm saving a bit of money on petrol, and I get a bit sick of mowing my lawn, so that's quite good at the moment. Your clothes dry a lot quicker on the clothesline, so you can get them out and get them in again without them getting too sun-bleached or weathered. So, you know, there is some good stuff happening out there.
Thank you, Roger, and thank you also to Ben Noel, and we will, by all means, keep our hopes up for a reprieve, perhaps later in the month or early next month, but as Ben made clear, no promises on that, and also several weather systems will be needed to relieve the drought. Thanks both of you for being with us this morning, Roger Ludbrook and Ben Noel.